Welcome to Tales of Prowess, a show that delves into the mysteries, secrets, and oddities of a world that was once yours, now called the Wetlands. This show explores the small lives of those who live and die in the Wetlands. I will be your guide for these elapsing minutes. As you listen to the waves crashing against you, it is apparent that for the time being, you are one of us. A traveler, visiting from far away. So, traveler, let me tell you a tale. A tale of prowess. Beth's clothes were drenched in clean drinking water of this mansion, gallons and gallons of clean water ruined by one little bottle. Beth could feel her dress become 10 pounds heavier as she stomped down the corridor to find her son. That thing took him. A mound of bottles that equates to over just 8 feet in height. After it lit on fire, she could see the scale of the creature. Its head squishing against the ceiling. Did he eat her son? Consume him? Turn him into one of those eyes in a bottle? Going back, that was the only way. She needed to know what happened. The mossy walls began to turn back into cobblestone. Droplets of water were rushing down her face. Beth thought herself lucky. This was the first time she had ever needed to swim. Before, Beth thought it was rare for anyone to know how to swim, but she always wanted to be prepared, and today, it worked. Beth passed a small kitchen, the kitchen area they cleaned, and looked inside. She saw no light, so all she could do was trust her eyes, adjusting to the darkness, and feel around a bit. All she could feel was air and hear silence. Beth walked back out into the main area again, now in pitch black. She only had her memory to guide her. If there was any sort of light source around, here was where she could find it. Beth tried to think, but the silence and the darkness was throwing off her sense of awareness, distracting her. A candle. There was a candle, right? When they first came down here, by the stairs? Yes, there was a candle. But it was out. Blown out by accident or on purpose. By that thing. Beth reached around, trying to retrace her steps again. This room was so big, it was more than easy to get yourself turned around, which happened multiple times to Beth. After stumbling into the table, then falling to its end, she found a stair. Moving slowly down the steps until she made it to the bottom. There, she felt the cold cobblestones freeze her hands. They were wet. Something doused this area in water. But after dragging her hands on the floor, she felt a cool and wet solid piece of wax that was the candle. Great. Now, how to light it? Beth was stumped. Her son could be dead by now, and all she can think about is the stupid candle. There wasn't any other way through, though. She had to do it. She had to figure it out for him. Beginning to crawl again, Beth began to think desperately on what she could light the candle with. Her mind was racing. What could she do? There were rocks. She could hit the rocks together. Maybe. She knows how to make a spark with two rocks, but to make it onto a candle? There was no other option, though. She had to try for Mac. Beth found the nearest small rock and dragged herself to the nearest wall and hit the small rock on the wall a couple times. It made a loud bang, then another, and finally, on the third, one small spark erupted from the wall and flew onto the floor. Damn it. Another time. She had to try again. Another smack, then a second. Another spark. This time, Beth tried to catch the spark on the candle. The small ember launched from the wall into the wick and began to light. Beth could feel the joy and relief shoot from her. Then there was a whisper, a noise she was all too familiar with. "Mommy, it can't see in the dark." And just like that, Beth blew out the small ember. "Mac, I can't see you. Where are you?" "Over here." Beth slowly crawled over to where she heard the voice, feeling around, and she found the small shoes of her boy, Mac. Slowly, and without any words, she hugged him hard and started leading him away to find the stairs again.
"I turned off the candle and hid just like you said."
"You're so smart." "We're going to get out of here, I swear," Beth said. Beth was a lot quicker to find the stairs this time. She felt the step, and then the next. One hand on the stair and the other dragging her son, she began to feel relieved as they ascended.
"Ow!"
Her head began to pulse with pain. Her head began to pulse with pain. She felt the top of her head. No blood. In the darkness, she tried to feel what she bumped into. Smooth and cool. Something that was dense, but not heavy, in the shape of a bottle. Beth didn't know what to do. Her muscles began to tense with anticipation of this beast was about to consume her. But then, nothing. There was a soft and squishy noise, but no movement. It was blocking the stairs. She had no weapon, no fire, just darkness. There was an immovable object that cannot be pushed. Her hand twitched. She reached to feel the bottle. It was cool, but there was obviously something holding it. Something in her, though, told her to. The beast roared and squealed like a pig as Beth ripped one bottle out of its body. She did it again and again, tearing into it. There was nowhere else to go. It was truly her only way out. Beth forgot to count the many bottles she grabbed and started pulling out. And then, it was suddenly gone. Beth forgot to count how many bottles she kept grabbing onto, pulling out, until, suddenly, it was gone. Beth reached a couple times around her and Mac until she only felt stale air. Feeling the stairs were clear once again, Beth made a sprint to the top with Mac's hand in tow, bursting through the cellar door and shutting it behind her. The new, bright candlelight in the room was almost blinding. It made Beth want to shudder. She blinked a couple times and saw a full dinner spread. Each one of the contestants were at the table, and at the head was Miss Wisconsin. She smiled, put a piece of cake in her mouth, and said, "Well, it's about time you showed up. Please, have some cake. I'm sure you have a great story to tell." Thank you for listening to this episode of Tales of Prowess. If you like what we do here, there is a link in the description, and that supports us. Thank you. If you want to follow us, you can follow us at Find This Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. This story was written and narrated by Philip Jones, and the score was composed by Abigail Hines. Thank you, and we will catch you on the next episode of Tales of Prowess.